Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Anna Murad. I'm the Newborn Nursery Director for Vanderbilt and the Pediatric Medical Director for our Firefly and Shine clinics. Those are programs that care for moms with opioid use disorder and their impacted children. I'm also the previous TIPQC Infant Medical Director. Joining me today is Michelle McPherson. She is the Firefly Clinic Lactation Consultant, and she also provides consultation to Shine Clinic. She has been an RN for 30 years, during which time she has served in the newborn nursery, the NICU, and labor and delivery. She has specialized as a lactation consultant with our Team Hope and Firefly Clinic since 2021. And has been providing care for our moms with substance use disorder who choose to breastfeed. We are so honored to have you here today. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on today. I'm married for 30 years. I have two sons. I am the daughter of a mother with substance use disorder, and I'm the mother of a son with substance use disorder. I'm very passionate about this population and about my work. My main goal is like helping women to be the best mother that they can be. I want to decrease stigma and definitely improve child outcomes.
That's such a noble goal. And as we celebrate World Breastfeeding Week and National Breastfeeding Month, we're going to dive into that important breastfeeding topic. But first, I just want to call out the theme for World Breastfeeding Week this year is a sustainable start in life, strengthening what works. And the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee has announced that the national breastfeeding theme is RISE, resilience, interdependence, self-determination, and empowerment. And I think those are great things for us to think about and really highlight as we celebrate this World Breastfeeding Week and Month. In our conversation today, I'm really going to talk mostly about moms with substance use disorder and the moms who choose to breastfeed their infants. I feel like that's really changed quite a bit over the years. We used to be far more conservative in telling moms that they shouldn't breastfeed or that breastfeeding was contraindicated. And then the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine issued a clinical protocol number 21. It's called Breastfeeding in the Setting of Substance Use Disorder. So let's discuss a little bit more about that and tell us a little bit how you start that conversation with moms who come into Firefly Clinic and maybe they're ambivalent about whether they want to breastfeed or not. Where do you start?
Yeah, it's definitely like one of the first subjects that I cover with the patients. I like to try to meet with them at least three times. And the first visit is just an introduction and talking to them about what they know about breastfeeding. So I'll just usually start with like, tell me something you know or that you've heard about breastfeeding. Have you ever breastfed before? And, you know, a lot of them have heard really incorrect or scary stories about breastfeeding, and I just want to debunk that off the front. I like to emphasize all their choices. A lot of these women are victims of sexual trauma, so latching their baby to their breast may completely be out of the picture. So we want to talk about how pumping and providing express breast milk is still breastfeeding. The benefits of the milk are still the same. I help them order a pump if they desire. They get one free through their TIN care. I talk to them how breast milk is best for all babies, but I like to zone in on why it is so important for the substance-exposed infant or the opiate-exposed infant. And we talk about a lot of withdrawal, and I kind of breach that tough subject of if you've ever experienced withdrawals yourself, then you know there's a lot of gut symptoms. There's stomach cramps, vomiting, diarrhea, a lot of muscle tension. And I like to let them know that breast milk is what will comfort those symptoms. that in the early days, that colostrum is such a protective factor. It's thick, it's rich, it coats the intestine, and it's so easy to digest that it requires less work of the gut. And so all of that together, provided with like tummy to tummy position for breastfeeding, which is almost like putting them on a little heating pad. So just all of those things combined are what really designates breast milk as what's best for the opiate exposed infant.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And you make such a great point that breastfeeding is not an all or none. These babies tend to have higher metabolic needs. And so if we have moms who come in who think, oh, I'm going to exclusively breastfeed, oftentimes these babies are going to need to be supplemented. And so having that expectation on the front end and knowing that we are going to want them to pump just because that metabolic rate is going to be so high that it can be difficult to exclusively breastfeed. What are some other common misconceptions or stigmas or things that you have heard around breastfeeding?
Well, the biggest one I hear is I do want to breastfeed because my baby will get the medicine through my milk, or I do not want to breastfeed because if the baby gets the medicine through my milk and I stop breastfeeding, then my baby could experience withdrawals again. And so I like to just kind of debunk that right up front and about how the amount of MAT that is transferred through mom's milk is very, very little. It's barely enough to measure. And I try to explain how it's really not super orally ingested, or I don't want to say ingested, but broken down by the baby. So when the milk enters the mouth, they're not just being exposed to large amounts of their MAT. And so that's some of the biggest. And then, you know, just simple things like it's supposed to hurt, how many days it takes for my milk to come in. We talk a lot about infant tummy size so that they understand those first couple of days that belly's the size of a marble or a cherry, and it only takes those couple of teaspoons of colostrum to fill their baby up. And then add in about the caloric needs of the opiate exposed. But typically it's just misinformation and wrong ideas about the medicine coming through their milk.
Every medication that we use for MOUD in that treatment arena would be safe for moms to breastfeed on, correct?
Absolutely. We talk about, well, I see patients with Subutex, Suboxone, Methadone, some of our moms that have went over to the injectables, and we can just go through the pros and cons of all of it. I can give them the number for the Infant Risk Center and different resources if they want to research themselves.
What are some of the things, and this is a little bit off topic, but I do have moms in this, particularly in this patient population, who are Hep C positive with a positive viral load, who are very nervous about breastfeeding. What are some tips or reassurances that you can provide in that arena?
Surprisingly enough, I know the population of positive Hep C with this population it's large. But despite that, I really don't have moms bring it up. When we do talk about it, I just explain that their milk is not infected. It's still great for their babies, and we just have to be really careful with any nipple trauma or blood transfer. And so I just enforce the fact that they need to let their nurse or myself or somebody know if they're even beginning to have a sore nipple so that we can get ahead of it, that it's not the milk. The milk is safe, and it is still what's best for their baby.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting to think about, even with that guidance, there's really, out of an abundance of caution, the risk is incredibly low. So how, when we're thinking about breastfeeding, mom is in stable recovery. She has been working her program, but maybe her family or her friends aren't supportive. How do you talk about the stigma and reassure mom that really and truly it is the best thing for her and her baby if she's able to breastfeed and desires to?
Yeah, absolutely. Stigma is a true beast all its own. I hope that one day I live to see that it's non-existent. The families, friends, people in their community, the big belief is that they're just replacing one drug with another. And I like to compare it to, you know, other diseases. People need to be aware that addiction is a disease, not a moral failing. And if you have a patient that's a diabetic, you're not going to poke fun or say, well, they should have just cut out sugar and went on a diet. You're going to be okay with them being on insulin. Same with hypertension. You're not going to say, well, if you would just cut sodium out of your diet and walk a mile a day, then you wouldn't need that blood pressure medicine if you just lose some weight. And we don't do that. We're fine with mothers that are on blood pressure meds and diabetic meds and things like that. So I like to just compare it to that and help them understand that it's a disease. MAT allows these women to lead normal, happy lives. It's what helps them be a good mother. And it's definitely healthier for mom and baby than illicit, unprescribed, overuse of unprescribed substances. I like to remind them that maybe they know this particular woman is on MAT and pregnant or breastfeeding, but I guarantee you that you come in contact with so many women, so many people every day that are on MAT and you would never know. And it's because of the MAT that you can't tell them from anybody else that is highly functioning and running a normal life, working and thriving as parents and in their careers.
As we do a deeper dive into the ABM protocol, it states that individuals who discontinue non-prescribed substance use by their delivery date can be supported in breastfeeding initiation with appropriate follow-up, which includes SUD care, lactation services, et cetera. It includes this great chart that gives the half-life for each substance, gives the relative infant dose. So you can really use that to make decisions about when the substance would be cleared from their breast milk. For our institution, this means that we are routinely encouraging breastfeeding, even if there was a later relapse. And so there is no more of this 30, 60, 90 day firm time points. It's really more about where is mom? What is her active use? What's her recovery plan? And more of a shared decision-making model. I'm going to quickly run through the other points of the protocol just that I think are pretty important. And you know, probably the biggest one is it very clearly states that breastfeeding should be avoided with non-prescribed use of opioids, sedative, hypnotics, or stimulants. So all of those things, if mom is still in active use, especially with the stimulants that can be cocaine and methamphetamine that can be absolutely deadly for a breastfeeding infant, that is where breastfeeding is going to be contraindicated completely. Occasional use alcohol, modest amounts of alcohol, and it gives very clear guidelines on what that means, can be compatible with breastfeeding. And so that is something to be aware of. And that is not in reference to a mom with alcohol use disorder, but just as a general thing for moms if they are having occasional modest use of alcohol. Tobacco and THC should be discouraged, but the benefits of breastfeeding are enough that you can allow breastfeeding. It's not truly contraindicated. Especially for marijuana, you want to be careful about talking about the breastfeeding accumulation and how lipophilic marijuana can be. We really want to discourage that use, but again, breastfeeding is not contraindicated. The other thing to know is we do occasionally have moms who are on benzo tapers. If they are on a medically prescribed benzo taper, then it is allowable to allow the baby to breastfeed and monitor for sedation. I feel like there is just a wealth of information in the protocol that's far beyond what we can cover in the podcast. I do encourage everybody to review it. So okay. Michelle, what are some other take-home points that you would make about this protocol and breastfeeding and SUD?
Well, I just want to stress the fact that breast milk is the ideal nutrition. It's got a wealth of benefits for mom and baby. It decreases their shame and guilt. These women have so much shame and guilt over the possible effects that it could have on their infant. Breastfeeding itself with oxytocin and Pitocin decreases the risk of relapse and return to use. It gives that mom a sense of pride because she's the only person that can provide this milk, and this milk is specific for her baby. It plays a vital role for mom to be involved in the care of her infant. We definitely want to teach her how to take care of her baby so that she is always involved and make sure that she remembers, and we know that mom and her milk are the two most important keys into decreasing the symptoms and decreasing the incidence of NALS. So she and her milk are comfort and healing.
What about the flip side of this? Do you have any talking points or pointers in the scenario where mom just isn't in stable recovery? She's really shaky in her recovery efforts. She may be fairly inconsistent. She may be relapsing quite a bit, but she's still feeling that pressure to breastfeed. What are some things that you discuss when you're taking her mental health and her recovery into account and recognizing that breastfeeding might not be the most appropriate thing for her at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's a very difficult, like, sensitive subject or scenario. And it definitely, and where Firefly is so important in for these women in treatment, is that it takes collaboration with the entire team. So it's not just my opinion or what I know about breastfeeding. It involves, you know, her psych provider, her OB provider, social work. We really want to get the whole picture so that she can understand all the elements. So we want to, I first just talked to her about how important is breastfeeding? What's your motivation to breastfeed? Is it one of these things that is absolutely mandatory for your birth story and your recovery journey? I want to enforce the fact that you can't give from an empty cup and you've got to take care of yourself, and that her baby needs a completely healthy mom, mentally and physically. She needs to give herself some grace. And I always kind of compare it to like running a marathon. If you had a broken toe or some sort of fracture to your foot, and I came up to you and I said, "So sad, you still have to run this marathon," it's not going to work very well. And so if I come to you and I'm forcing breastfeeding on you, or I'm not finding a solution, and your mental health is not what it should be, then it's not going to work out. And it's just like forcing you to run with that broken foot. And so we want to fix all of your health to make sure that breastfeeding is a positive experience. Because with PMADS, breastfeeding can go either way. It can give the woman that sense of success and pride. And when things are going well, it lifts her spirit and gives her all those motivations. But if it's not going well, baby's not latching, maybe baby's not gaining weight appropriately, she gets all these negative feelings of not being enough, not making enough, and not doing the right things, then of course now we're compounding her anxiety and depression. So you really just got to walk that thin line of how important is it and how is it going to affect the mom and the baby? Maybe give her some options. Maybe we want to just pump. Maybe we're going to pump and latch just a few times a day. See if that's going okay. If it has a positive effect for her, then yeah, we'll keep going. If it's negative, then we're going to let it go and make sure she understands that this is all part of her recovery journey, that what's best for her is not best for every other mom.
I think that's really important. When you're talking about PMADS, the perinatal mood and anxiety disorders that can really be problematic for a lot of moms after delivery, I think it's super important that we acknowledge the role that breastfeeding can have. And like you pointed out, to a positive or negative degree. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention Postpartum Support International for moms who may be experiencing those symptoms, to please reach out and get some help, because it is far more common than you would know. What are some other resources? So, you know, let's say I'm practicing in a hospital and I don't have an IBCLC. I don't know if this medication is appropriate for mom to be able to breastfeed on. I'm not real sure about, you know, whether I should suggest it or not. What are some things that you would suggest to people to be able to call or get some help?
I always, first and foremost, want them to talk with the prescribing physician. What are the reasons for the meds? What's pros and cons? How can it affect my milk or my mood? We always want to make sure that the medication is safe. And sometimes it's not that the one medication is safe. We need to look at the whole cocktail. What are the effects of all the medicines in combination? Can we change the timing of the day to where the medicines aren't maybe all in the being put into the milk at one time? And so it's also important to talk with a pediatrician, lactation consultant, if you have it. And then we're going to refer to Dr. Hale's book, Medications in Mother's Milk. And then he also has the Infant Risk Center. I use them quite often. It's a great source to call. You're going to get someone on the phone. You're going to tell them the medications, how often, and the dose. And they're going to let, is it safe? And what I like about the Infant Risk Center is they'll give you options. They'll say, let her nurse this many times a day for a week. And then in the next week, she can increase. And so I've had moms that, without having to change their medications, have kind of tapered up to completely, exclusively breastfeeding as the baby ages.
Right. That's especially important when you are on multiple psychotropics. So yeah. If you've got a mom who's on multiple mental health meds, recognizing that the infant is potentially going to be at pretty high risk for sedation, depending on the combination and what she's taking. So I highly encourage folks to call the infant risk center in that scenario for sure.
Yeah, you can, you know, refer. There's things like LactMed, Mother to Baby, Tennessee Breastfeeding Hotline. I always provide my patients with my phone number and let them know that if it's after hours, I'm not available, I don't answer, then this is the number to call. Then we agree wholeheartedly with the advice they would give you if I'm not available.
Right. People need to know where to find those answers. That's for sure. Because there are some times where we're going to have to say no. And, you know, there are times in the hospital where I have a mom who comes in and just isn't in stable recovery. And those are times where we sometimes have to say, you know, breastfeeding is not a great idea right now, but let us think about other ways. And there are times where I have a mom who decides if she wants to pump and hold until she can get into a stable recovery situation. And that does happen from time to time. I think the biggest thing is that shared decision-making and really talking to mom about what her goals are. I think that can be pretty critical. What other things would you want to know in general about breastfeeding, maybe outside of the realm of substance use disorder, just for a mom with a new baby? What are some things you would tell her?
Well, I always like to say if breastfeeding was as easy and natural as we think, there wouldn't be a whole career dedicated to just lactation. So obviously, across the years, we've discovered that it is difficult and it's not the same for every mom. And I just, if I could force anything, it's like, please don't have super high expectations and pie in the sky dreams. Educate yourself all that you can. And you're really, none of the education is really going to sink in until you have that baby in your arms. And so it's kind of hard to plan ahead and have the big picture figured out. Let's just take it literally hour by hour. This baby's going to get here, hopefully happy, healthy. We do a, you know, a golden hour skin to skin, which is the best time to work on latch while the baby is alert and keen and ready to do so. And then explain that period of sleepiness that is normal and definitely, you know, skin to skin. I can't say it enough. And just practicing over and over, putting the baby to the breast. It doesn't have to be successful every time. And to know your resources. You're not going to do this by yourself. Identify some family support. Find out about support groups, whether at your delivering hospital or in your community. Find a group of women that can support you and have knowledge. And just know that there's going to be bumps in the road and set small goals. I always say, if you'll give me 10 to 14 days, I promise you it's going to get better. So the sleep deprivation and the waiting on the full milk supply, all of that is just really hard. But if you'll give me 10 to 14 days, I promise you, you've made it.
Yeah. And, I call that the nesting period. Just need to go home and nest.
Yeah. And you know, breastfeeding is different for every mom. What you consider success may not be what I consider success. So as long as
different
you
for every it, baby, right?
Exactly.
Different because these different babies. Yeah, I think the Tennessee Breastfeeding Hotline can be, I mean, we are so lucky to have that resource in our state to be able to, they can call at 2 a.m. and they're going to get some assistance. So going back to what you said earlier, knowing what's available in your community, that's a place where the hotline can really be helpful. They have an idea of what's available in the different communities. And then recognizing if you are in a hospital that doesn't have a breastfeeding protocol or a breastfeeding policy, that's something to really work on so that everybody's on the same page. One of the things that makes me sad is when I have a mom who comes in who's been told she can't breastfeed for various reasons, and it may not be accurate. And so making sure that you've got something that everybody understands, here's our escalation. If we aren't sure, then we're going to escalate and ask and make sure that we've got some expert opinions about whether it's safe or not. I think that's going to be a really important take home during this World Breastfeeding Week, right? Go find your policy.
Right. I've definitely had moms come in and it be their second, third, fourth baby. And when I talk about breastfeeding, they immediately say, oh, well, I can't do that. And they've been told that with other babies, you know, their other children. And when they find out, oh no, this is perfectly safe. I mean, they're just elated to know that that is something they can do. And to know that it's sad that they missed that with their other children, but to be able to have it with this one. And then the other thing I like to stress as far as resources is check with your insurance and find out about in-home lactation, because most insurances now will pay for anywhere from 2 to 6 visits in your home from a board-certified lactation consultant. And sometimes getting that assistance in your home where you're comfortable and in the position and in the chair that you're going to normally feed, it's priceless.
Yeah, we are so lucky. TennCare has offered a lot of lactation services as well. And so I think in a spot where sometimes we concentrate on what's not there, but we really need to be pretty positive on where we've come, because our state really has improved quite a bit over the years, I think. So that's an uplifting, happy World Breastfeeding Week and Month note to end on. Michelle, is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we end this?
Just be supportive. Just if you have a friend, a family member, just be supportive. Just be kind. Just educate yourself. Be kind and support every woman who's trying to breastfeed.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you for being here. And there will be a link to the Academy of Breastfeeding Protocol in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.